Hi, I'm Jericho. Y'all can sit down. I was just listening to that scripture in someone else's voice, and hearing it just now made me think about how if my loved one got up from the grave and Jesus told me to unbind them, I would be freaking out too much to unbind. like, are you sure? Oh, y'all don't think that's fun. I think that's hilarious. Like, if your loved one got up from the grave and Jesus was like, there's your loved one, unbind her. Y'all act like y'all just gonna run to your loved one. Okay, sure. Like, sure, Jesus, I'll unwrap this dead person. okay. My name's Jericho. I bring you greetings from the Spiritual Living Center of Atlanta, where I'm a board member and where I usually am on Sunday. But I have to thank Reverend Dr. Travis Helms for the invitation, and thank this church and this community for all the kindness you've shown since I've been here in Jackson Hole. I've never been around so many people who really just need to run and climb. It's so beautiful. And so many people say that they moved here to do it. People are like, oh, I moved to Jackson because I want to be outside. They don't have outside where you were before. I think that's hilarious. I'm usually traveling to read and teach poetry. I don't think what I'll be doing today is so different, except that today I'm definitely going to talk about Jesus. No matter my religious affiliation, I can assure you, I love to talk about Jesus. I come from a people who believe there is power in the very name of Jesus, that saying that name means an automatic opportunity to reset and refocus and better know one's own dignity. I'm also a poet who loves knowing everything there is to know about the Bible. I write enough books that I want to know why an impactful book is such an impactful book. And whatever you say about the Bible, you can't say it doesn't have an impact. So let's look at John 11, a chapter from which we read together earlier in this service today, the chapter that details events surrounding Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. My subject today is how to raise the dead, even when you're running late. John 11 has been one of my favorite passages in this really great book since I was a kid. I know now that I love this chapter so much because as a child, I was most interested in a Jesus who could perform what seemed to me to be straight up magic. I mean, what good is Jesus at all if he can't perform miracles, is what I thought. When I was a child, I loved the Jesus who restored sight and healed the sick and, yes, raised the dead for the same reasons I loved comic books and Transformers, and Thundercats, and oh yes, Jim and the Holograms. Y'all don't know nothing about Jim. If church was where you went to get saved, then in my mind, Jesus was the ultimate superhero. It's nice to think of Jesus as a superhero, especially when you stay your butt in situations where you constantly need to be saved. And thinking about Jesus the way we think of Wonder Woman or Superman might be of use to us if we know we are brutalized or victimized to the point of understanding only a supernatural being, a supernatural super being, could ever do anything to end our oppression or at least fortify our resilience. My attraction to Jesus as a child was an attraction that many of us believe the entirety of our faith depends upon. That is Jesus, the great exception. There's just nobody like Jesus. Andre Crouch wrote, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." There's no one like him. As a matter of fact, if you believe there is any such thing as sin, then you probably believe that only the blood of Jesus can wash sins away. You don't expect anybody else's blood to do that for you. There's no lack of discussion of Jesus, the great exception. I don't think you have to be a Christian in this nation to have heard of the man, to have heard that the man was born of a virgin and one day walked on water. Jesus, the great exception, is no stranger to us because we think he's the one who's responsible when we walk away from the car wreck that should have killed us, or when the doctor can no longer see the tumor that was evident to the instruments of science just a week before. Today, though, I'd like to talk with you about the Jesus I know we believe in, but may not be able to fully comprehend when we are children. It's easy to love Jesus, the great exception. And to give you even more to love, I want to talk with you today about Jesus, the great example. When I look at John 11, thinking about Jesus, the great example, I stop thinking about heading to my own dead grandmother's grave to say, Eva May, come forth. I miss her every day of my life, but if I call her out of the grave using her first name, she'd probably beat me silly and remind me that the only name I was to ever call her by was Grandmama. When I think of Jesus, the great example, I have to understand that it is expected of me to raise that which is dead in my life, to revive whatever I've neglected that I also claim to love. While there are many things to discuss here that show me how to raise the dead, I want to focus on one. So you'll have to invite me back to talk about the need for understanding oneself as an example, which is what Jesus, the great example, is doing when he says, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe you sent me. You'll have to invite me back to talk with you about how you cannot expect the dead to come forth and walk out of the grave until you take away the stone, which has to do with making way and making room for whatever you want brought to life by removing whatever is in the way of its arrival. As I close, I mostly want to remind you that raising the dead takes a kind of compassion so large that it can only begin with compassion for the self. The scripture reads, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept Lazarus from dying? Then Jesus, again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. At this point, Jesus has walked a long way to get back to a dangerous part of the Holy Land he had recently run away from. If I had come that far, I bet you I wouldn't raise anybody if the first thing I heard upon arrival was, my brother's dead and it's all your fault. But Jesus is not tuned into what his friends and communities say. Even when they say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept Lazarus from dying? He isn't caught up in being insulted by all of this because he is much more interested in what these people feel than he is in what they say. And he understands what they feel because he is willing to experience and fully feel his own grief. He knows their words are muddled with grief because he feels the same grief. Jesus already knows he was running late. Blame and condemnation miss him because his sadness over the loss of his friend is what he shares with the community that greets him. Rather than hear Mary's blame, Jesus, as the scripture says, saw her weeping. He sees all of the people who loved Lazarus weeping. And the closer he gets to the grave, the more he too sobs and cries. Please note that Jesus does not waste time and energy here trying to be strong or trying to be a strong man. They know Jesus loves Lazarus as they do because he weeps with them. What this passage has taught me since becoming a grown man is that I cannot raise from the dead that for which I cannot openly show passion and compassion. I don't get to be cool about what I love. I have got to cry sometimes. I've got to show some sign. Rather than not feeling my grief, I must begin to understand that the back of all grief is love. That's the only way I can see that whatever I've lost is also what we've lost. We cannot wait for a hero. When I learn, I can be one. We cannot wait for a hero. When I learn, you can be one. I cannot get the help I need to raise the dead. I cannot ask you to take away the stone. If I cannot acknowledge and embody all the reasons we share for bringing the dead back to life, what does my miracle have to do with my community? What does my community's miracle have to do with me? Jesus, the great example, is then a collaborator. He wants exactly what we want, and he lived his life such that we can do what he did. And if we want to know him, we have got to grow up. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.